Hello, lovely podcast people. This episode has come about through the podcast listener suggestions form on my website. And it's an amalgamation of numerous different questions that were asked, all along a similar topic. And because of the time of year it is, it's the perfect situation. So I'm not actually going to answer them in a kind of play-by-play fashion, because it's part of this bigger topic, which I'm going to call something like how to become a fully qualified insurable nutritionist. Now, there's a couple of things that I have written down to talk about here. There'll be some helpful stuff. So I guess in a way it's going to be mostly interesting for... I guess in a way it's like you could be a non-practitioner, you could be a career changer. But do you know what? It could be useful for anyone. Some of you might be interesting for you as a parent who has a child going into the world of work. It could be interesting for you as a personal trainer who wants to specialize more in nutrition. And the types of questions I've had, I'll just read a few. What advice would you give to people entering the working world of nutrition? Is MAC Nutrition a good course? Should say MAC Nutrition Uni or MNU. Is MNU a good course to take after becoming qualified? So I guess this is someone who's gone to university to study nutrition, to build on current knowledge. Could you get a job after completing your course? My course. The other tutors would not be happy about that. But anyway, even if it's the first time for an individual entering the nutrition world and no previous knowledge other than your course being completed. So I've actually, I've gone to the liberty of just copy and pasting a couple of testimonials from people where that's happened to give you an idea. You can obviously visit the MAC Nutrition Uni website to kind of look into those more. Do you recommend work experience or shadowing? Why do you think your course is the best? Career paths upon completing and passing MAC Nutrition Uni. Success stories from previous people passing the courses. So those are just a few. There's other ones actually that I'm going to talk about specifically later. But that just gives you a bit of an idea of why this has come about. MAC Nutrition Uni enrolments are this year, in whatever year this is, 2021, start on the 10th of August. Every year MAC Nutrition Uni starts in September. That's our yearly intake start month. So on this topic of how do you become a fully qualified insurable nutritionist, it's a funny one, because the term, this is country dependent actually for a start. So you've got, and even state dependent, you know, places like America and Canada that have different states, the rules are different. Literally, you just jump over a border and you can no longer do your profession. It's kind of crazy. Minnesota, I believe. Is that a state? Yeah, we'll go with that. Tennessee. Those are two that we kind of have talked to MNU students, graduates in those places about kind of their options and what they can do. Countries like Japan, I think Japan, and others. The term nutritionist is protected, and there are kind of quite strict legislation around them. Portugal is one in Europe, for instance. And so I just want to talk a bit about, I'm not talking about those countries. So in the UK and America, it's difficult because I've just mentioned different states with regards to nutrition, but let's talk about UK, for instance. Dietitian, a registered dietitian is a protected title. It's a very specific title and that allows you to do a very specific thing, and mostly that's to work in hospitals. But before every MNU intake, I do this email where it basically goes, if you want to work with people in hospitals, if you want to become a cancer specialist practitioner with regards to nutrition, you need to go to university to do dietetics. That is the be all and end all of your situation. There are other roles within hospitals with regards to nutrition, but realistically, you're talking about dietitians. It becomes very different when you want, when someone says, what's the best way to become a qualified nutritionist to work with individuals in private practice, to start my own business, to do XYZ? You know, this is the problem and why the term kind of nutritionist does get some criticism, because you can do any online course, you know, online certification, like some of even MNU's competitors, if you can call them that, and call yourself a nutritionist and be completely incompetent, and it's a joke. And realistically, when people are jealous of the success of Mat Nutrition Union, or really are, I don't know if the word is jealous, they are, what's the word I'm looking for? They feel made inadequate. They feel fearful. They feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Goodness. Challenged. It'll come to me later. Anyway. Made inadequate. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. My goodness, it's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, someone who's, for instance, gone to university, studied for 3, 4, whatever years, and is like, you know, I spent all this money and time, and I'm a nutritionist, and you're not the same as me. It can be, you know, MNU's a Mickey Mouse course. It's an online, anyone can do an online certification, which anyone who's done MNU, anyone who knows a lot about it, knows it's not true. Really, it's probably harder to fail a degree. You know, you can get whatever, 60% of the answers wrong during your whole degree and still get given a degree, because the pass mark is it 40%? Or is it 40% in the first year? No, it's 40% every year, is it? Anyway. Even then, even if it's not, it's 50%. I think my master's was 50% pass mark. It's crazy, isn't it? So, where was I? So, I mean, let's discuss this. You've got this situation of, I want to become a fully qualified, a registered nutritionist. Now, this is something I went away and just, so that I could be completely factual in what I was talking about here, because it's going to trigger people. I spoke about this today. People are going to hear this and they're going to feel attacked. And it's unfortunate, because I have nothing against registered nutritionists or people who have done these, because, and this is the problem, is people almost get a title and then they, I belong to this group of people and I will defend them, and anything you say bad about those people, you're wrong, and they just lose any ability to think critically. They lose their ability really to do anything good or inspire change. Because people from out, if I say bad stuff about dietitians, everyone gets upset and angry. Whereas if you're a dietitian and you do it from the inside, yes, it comes with its own set of risks, but you can be more of a vehicle for change. I had to do so much to make lots of the people within the British Dietetics Association stand up and listen a bit. And was hated for it. Stories around that, which we won't go into. But yeah, so we've got this scenario of registered nutritionists. And I've done talks for registered nutritionists, and I've employed registered nutritionists. And I should probably go and put that one out there. I was a registered nutritionist. I was a member of the Association for Nutrition, registered nutritionist. But I chose to get rid of my membership because it's a, and this isn't what I'm talking about now. The AFN is a sort of relatively pointless association. It doesn't really do anything. It did nothing for me. It didn't change the way I could practice or anything like that. Whereas people think it does. You need to get a degree set, you know, degree qualified nutritionist. It's not a thing. And it doesn't, that qualification isn't what makes you a great practitioner. Being a great practitioner is an individual pursuit. You do your qualification, whatever it may be, and then you need to invest in ongoing education. It's the same with dietitians. There was actually a question that I wrote down here, which was, while studying to become qualified, is there anything students can do to help them learn more and understand people more? And there was another one actually. There's another question which kind of was asking about development. But it's just understanding that when you come out of these courses, you're not the finished product. Even as a dietitian, right, dietetic modules, you cover things like pharmacology, data handling and project design, sociology and health, management of social care, microbiology of food spoilage, like learning about how funguses grow and food spoilage and you know, sell, you know, best before dates. And you have to, that's part of a dietitian's role in that kind of the food industry. And a lot of that is done within registered nutritionist degrees. Then you've got, you know, your placements and your clinical practice and some underlying biochemistry. Like the amount of time you actually spend on personalized nutrition planning for individuals gets pushed out a lot. There isn't much room for it. There isn't much room for making you a great individual practitioner to work as a nutritionist or dietitian, helping people with their health and fitness goals. Like in a dietetic situation, a lot of the time you're working with people in kind of fairly advanced disease states. That's where, and you know, tube feeding, that's where dietitians come into their own. And really they finish their 3-year degree and they still don't know a lot. But then have a good avenue to work below senior dietitians, etc. And they become specialists. But someone comes out, I'm a registered dietitian. I have no respect for you based on that title. I know you've got some basic half decent underpinning knowledge of some things, doesn't mean you're a great practitioner that I want you to work with my client who wants to improve their health in XYZ way. Or I want you on TV telling people that protein damages your kidneys. As we know, lots of dietetic association spokespeople go on TV and say these things and no one's there going, WTF, why have you not updated your script since 1981? Anyway, I'm ranting a bit. I'll carry on. So I just made some notes here about registered nutritionist degrees. And this is in the UK, but this is fairly standard across the board. And why, if someone is wanting to do this as a profession, it's just understanding what you're signing up for. Do you want to work in food industry, which really registered nutritionists have a bit of a monopoly on, if you want to go and help Jamie Oliver reduced the sugar content of his cereal by 3%, but also you increase the fat content of the same cereal, so the calories actually go up. So really, the cow campaign was pointless. Yes, this is a real story. It's a joke, you know. Oh, I'm going to help to design labels on this. I'm going to create flyers. Fine, if that's what you want to do. Registered nutritionists degrees give you some when you are applying for jobs. And this question up here, which was about, you know, looking at jobs, if I want to be a nutritionist and get a job with a company, what's my best avenue? The main thing to do is go and look at online CVs, job descriptions and what they're asking for in their essentials and desirables. But just to give you an idea, I have very, very, very little respect for registered nutrition degrees. There are a few that are maybe good and it depends on who your lecturer is. But the modules, like I'll go through some of the degrees. I won't name the universities. But the modules are like food and the food chain. So you're spending weeks and hours and hours and hours of your time learning about the food chain. That's not going to help you work with a client. Food policy, that's not going to help you help someone change their life, change their behavior, dispel some myths that they believe, teach you how to nutritional counseling skills. That's not going to teach you all these really important things. Food policy, community engagement, consumer behavior, exploring the agricultural food sector, data and marketing analytics, new food product development. Like one registered nutritionist, I'm not sure if she was one actually, but she'd done the degree or whatever, was like, yeah, we literally did a 20 credit module. And that's a lot of time, 20 credits. That's, you know, if they took like the directed learning hours, probably 100 to 150 hours on this module. And it's like, how to make sausages, how sausages are made. Unbelievable. This other one, which one university, this is probably bad me mentioning this one because it was, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Nutrition 21. I was like, what does that mean? I was like, oh, good, a nutrition module. No, it's about the fast pace changing local and global food conditions. This is what you're learning about on nutrition degrees a lot of the time. You're not learning about specifically how to calculate the right amount of protein to potentially get changes in appetite, changes in muscle gain, body composition. The things that are going to matter that people care about when they are, I want to be a nutritionist and I want to have my own consultancy. I want to work, you know, in hybrid online consulting. I want to work with professional football clubs. I want to work with athletes. I want to help people lose weight, gain muscle, improve their health, change their behaviors, improve their relationship with food. All of these great things that as a nutritionist, I feel like a lot of what people fall in love with or want to do and want to help people with when they're asking me, what shall I do? And you've got 3-year degrees. I've just copy and pasted like 4 different whole all years. And literally one module in the whole first year, actually that university is the Nutrition 21. So I thought there was 2 in the first year, but there's one. The basic principles of food and nutrition. Actually, there's a distinct lack of any psychology as well. In the second year, you got 2 modules. Lifespan nutrition. I'm not sure how much I should be saying this. Anyway, third year, nothing. Fourth year, third year placement, which again, fourth year, like you literally might go in and just work in a sausage factory, for instance. And then fourth year, you know, one module, nutrition in health and disease. That one might be quite good. 4 years, 40, 50, 60,000 pounds of debt later. Anyway, whatever. I didn't highlight in anyone in that one. This one, oh my goodness, really? Wow, nothing. Okay, they do some behavior change in the fourth year. Jeez, I thought they didn't do any nutrition. This one, 1 module in the first year, introduction to nutrition. 2 modules, nutrition for physical activity, nutrition and health in the second year. 2 modules in the third year. Now, this is the problem, right? People saying, I see this on Facebook. You know, I'm thinking of, I want to become a nutritionist. What shall I do? Loads of people, MNU, do Mat Nutrition Uni, it's amazing. Do a degree, you need to do a degree. Why are you doing that, blah, blah, blah. With no concept, if I said to them, all right, what do you learn on a degree? It's not giving you any greater, you know, with Mat Nutrition Uni, you know, we have prerequisites now. So yes, people need to have some prior experience in nutrition. That's, you know, and we help them get that. And one of the main reasons I introduced that was because I didn't want people suddenly having this life epiphany that they wanted nutrition and just doing MNU. I wanted them to have this exposure to nutrition. It's more the exposure. That's why some of our prerequisites aren't necessarily great from a content point of view. But even sometimes being taught wrong stuff, then when they come into Mat Nutrition Uni and they've learned the right stuff, they get this more holistic, rounded view of nutrition, insights into what people are saying, greater ability to then disseminate that information to clients and others. But again, do Mat Nutrition Uni. We now have bespoke insurance policies in 30 different countries across the world. You're not just a personal trainer giving some nutrition advice like some courses. I've sort of taken a few words from some of our policies. Provide nutrition consultancy services, assess clients' food and nutrient intake, address their health and fitness goals, subsequently design personalized nutrition interventions with a myriad of different methods, including meal plans, blah, 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 blah. That's what you're insured to do as an MNU certified nutritionist. This is what we're teaching people, the evidence-based methods to do. So this is becoming a bit silly, sorry, but I just want to get this across of like, read all these questions that I'm getting that I said at the beginning of the podcast. You know, why do you think your course is the best? Well, there you go. That's why. Go and look what we cover and what we teach in a year. Constant nutrition, behavior change, understanding. And weaved within all of those different lectures, I'm not going to go into it. Weaved within it, there's how to talk to the client about those things. So it's just constant. You're taught by real practitioners who have done the jobs that you want to do. Anyway, where was I? I'm going to talk to you. I've copy and pasted a few testimonials, right? Because there's those questions earlier. And you can just go on macnutritionuni.com, whatever, /testimonials or student graduate. So what do our graduates think? What was that noise? My application was successful and they commented in their acceptance letter that it was because I had done MNU. This is someone getting a job. I now recently attained a job as a resident nutritionist for a global supplement manufacturing company. This is someone who just done MNU. You now have an MNU student working as a nutritionist at Europe's leading health store. The senior nutritionist hired me on the basis of MNU. Thank you so much, Martin, for everything you've taught me. Cannot thank you enough. Met with the CEO and head of fitness. My mind was blown. They've shown an interest in me today and was just told I'll be meeting the head of marketing soon. No matter how this turns out, it's been an amazing experience, and it all started because the head of nutrition saw that I was doing MNU. Again, in terms of, you know, people say, is MNU recognized? It's like, it's being recognized globally. Look at the people who endorse the course. Look at what people... And this is why, you know, some people get upset, like, Martin, you do so much social media. Do you not think you should be supporting your students? Like, I support our students all the time in private, and all of the other tutors do, 365 days a year. But part of, you know, what some of the degrees do is, like, we want to try and get you jobs. Me doing that is people, so people understand the ethos of MNU, what we try and do, what the way we teach, the type of practitioner you'll get out of it, which is really the main thing people should be worrying about. We will kick people off if they lack integrity, if they go against the code of conduct. And I get loads of hate because we have done that. And I don't like that, but I put up with it because it's the right and moral thing to do. You know, we won't allow graduates who sell MLM products. Who, you know, and use methods that are, you know, there's dietitians and registered nutritionists out there using all sorts of gimmicky food intolerance testing and DNA diets. Who's policing them? No one, because these other organizations don't care about that. It's not part of their mission statement. If anyone asks whether MNU will be any good for a career in Asia, you can tell them that I was approached and employed by a high-end company in Hong Kong because I'm doing MNU. Another person, I have been contacted by a strength and conditioning gym that's very successful here in Dublin, and they have asked me to come on board as their in-house nutritionist. I'm equally shocked and honoured that MNU opened these doors for me. After Mac Nutrition Uni, I started working with an evidence-based company. They hired me simply because of the fact that I had graduated from MNU. They already hold MNU in high regard. Just wanted to say how my MNU certification opened doors for me. Alongside my own nutrition clients, I've been delivering the NHS Diabetes Prevention Programme for the last 6 months. Usually you need a degree, but my MNU qualification got me in. Like, stuff like that's cool. I love that. This is the thing. I would also never sell the course based on the fact that this will happen to you. These are individuals. These are super hardworking individuals. Now, if you are like them and you are doing great things, and life is sometimes about who you know, it's very often about who you know, that will change things. And I don't sell it based on these things. What I sell it based on is the fact that we are the best, and we will do everything in our power to support you and help you and teach you. And what we teach is evidence-based, and we'll get results with clients, which inevitably then leads to bigger and better things because you are able to do the job. I'm now going to be part of the first roll out of the NHS Diabetes Remission Program that started in September as a diabetes practitioner at my local hospital. There's so many things. One of the things I do talk about MNU, becoming a qualified practitioner, is starting your own business. And I understand that that's very scary for some people, and we talk about career changes and we really support them. And I always say, like, I literally discussed this in the mentoring lab about, don't just go ahead and quit your job. Like, see if they're going through grinding phases where, yeah, you spend your weekends working. You're working your real job and your passion, and then you can slowly replace it and do all these amazing things. That's what MNU really, and why we created the Mac Nutrition Mentoring Lab, with all of the business support there, the professional mentoring, all of that stuff. You know, talks that I've delivered at corporate nutrition corporate wellness, you know, during corporate wellness programs, we give them away so that you can use them as templates and improve on what I've done. I'm not saying what I did was great, but as in it's just nice, isn't it, to see what someone else did who had relative success. We don't hold back. We want everyone to be super successful. Not selling crappy generic plans on the internet like some people do, lots of people. So these are more the sort of typical, I suppose. Anyway, maybe not. I would say typical. It's obviously based on the individual and how hard they work. So I always want to put that. This is not taking away and I'm not guaranteeing, but this is the type of thing. Coming out of M&U and setting up a business has been a crazy, amazing experience. I'm proud to say that within 6 months of finishing M&U, my books are now full and I'm at absolute capacity. That's one of our graduates in Australia. Through the last lockdown, using a lot of what M&U has already taught me, my business exploded. I quit my 14-year career in financial services this time last year. I was a financial advisor, high net worth clients. Had I not had the tools and support from M&U, my business wouldn't be the success it is today. So I can't thank you enough. It's never been about the money, but I'm making more now than I was as a financial advisor. Like, that's cool. It's not about the money for lots of people. But it's nice to have financial freedom or some financial health. I talk a lot about this. It's not something that I prioritized well enough in my early career because I didn't like those who seemed to care about money. And I almost did myself a disservice, cut my nose off to spite my face because of that. I just wanted to let you know that I've been working crazy hard on my new coaching program. I launched today and it filled all space I was offering. This is the first time I've ever had a successful launch, and without M&U, I couldn't have done it. And it just goes on. I just feel a bit like I'm just reading stuff over and over and over. But you can just go on the M&U website and read about these things to get more of an idea of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, with regard to these questions, I'm just trying to find a couple of the other questions that people asked. The work shadowing and work experience stuff is that it's difficult because often I feel like work shadowing, work experience stuff is more like who you meet, what it says about you, getting life experience, learning stuff, learning how to communicate, learning how businesses work. It's not necessarily a case of, it's difficult for companies to take on work experience individuals. Whenever we've taken on interns, we've always thought, you know what, we want to turn this person into an employee, want to be able to offer them a job at the end. That's the whole point of it. We don't do internships anymore. So it's tricky to say whether for me, some of the stuff, you know, what can I do? Listen to podcasts. Realize that if you've not done M&U, all the other courses out there, even with M&U, I say to people, watch my Instagram stories, consume my content. Not because it's all about me, but I'm like, and other people, you know, listen to podcasts, not just my own. Now, I've been saying this long before I had a podcast, to get more insight, to go on internet forums, go in Facebook groups, understand human psychology more, what people are talking about, what they're being misled about, what they don't understand, where they need your help. Yeah, my main recommendation for people coming out of degrees is realize you are far, far, far from the finished product and start learning more about personalized nutrition, whether or not that's doing M&U, because there is a big time commitment there. Look into ways that you can improve your personalized nutrition intervention knowledge, your ability to get results with people in stuff that they care about. Do you know what? I'm just going to leave it there. I feel like all those questions up there, I kind of answered in different ways. And I feel like I've dropped a few industry truths there that people won't have necessarily realized and will hurt some people's feelings. And, you know, the people that we've used that are registered nutritionists and registered dietitians, they're specialists because they've spent years and years getting really good at different things, you know, the emotional eating side of things, the mindful eating side of things, the sports performance side of things. They didn't finish a course amazing at those, you know, their degree in dietetics or nutrition or whatever. They specialized, they continued to build their own knowledge on those things. Right. Not too much humour, soz. Just remember another thing I was going to talk about, but I won't. I'll leave it there. Much love. Any questions on top of this? As I said, Mount Nutrition Uni, 10th of August, enrolments are starting. It's going to be our biggest intake ever, is my guess. If you want a spot, I hope you get it. I'm buzzed about it. And do you know what? I'll also say this. 27th of November, this year, 2021, Nottingham. It's our first big live event in for what feels like forever. Be there. We've already confirmed one cool speaker. One person who I really wanted to speak has just said they can't. Their life situation has changed. I'm gutted. That would have been super cool. So maybe we'll get them back for 2022. So hopefully I've got someone to replace them. The other two, just waiting for them to confirm. It's going to be class. Such a good event. So good. The social side of it's always amazing. 27th of November, Nottingham, be there. Make it bigger than ever. I think we've already got, because people bought tickets for previous events, I think there's already like 300 people with tickets. I think our max capacity is like maybe 500. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it's less than that. Depends on seating plans. Anyway, much love. Please be there. It'd be so cool. Love meeting new people. And until next time. Don't know what the next podcast will be, but I bet it will be a good one. Much love.